وخلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم وددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العظيم
صلى الله عليك يا رسول
مجھ پہ مولا کا کرم ہے ان کی ناتیں پڑھتا ہوں ہم سب پہ مولا کا کرم ہم ان کی ناتیں پڑھتے ہیں دامن اپنا رب کی رحمت سے ہم ہر دم کرتے ہیں صدقے یا رسول اللہ تم ان کی نادانی مچاتے جائیے
صدقے یا رسول اللہ تم میں قیامت کے دن میرے سب سے زیادہ قریب وہ ہوگا جس نے دنیا میں مجھ پر کثرت سے درود پڑا ہوگا. صلو علی الحبیب. وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. میرے سامع بھائیو، جہاں آج ہم اور بہت سی سنتوں سے دور ہو رہے ہیں، آج ہم جہاں اور بہت سے گناہوں کی بیماریوں میں مبتلا ہوتے جا رہے ہیں، اسی طرح ایک بہت ہی عظیم سنت اف، یعنی اس کو اردو میں کہتے ہیں، اردو میں اس کے کئی معنی ہو سکتے ہیں، درگزر کرنا، معاف کرنا، صبر کرنا، برداشت کرنا، بدلہ نہ لینا یعنی کہ انتقام نہ لینا، اس سنت سے بھی ہر دوسرا شخص محروم نظر آ رہا ہے. حالانکہ یہ ایسی سنت ہے اور ایسی صفت ہے کہ ہمیں بار بار قرآن پاک میں اس کی تلقین کی گئی ہے. پیارے آقا صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم نے بھی بار بار اس کی ترغیب دلائی ہے. اور اس سنت یعنی درگزر کرنا کو نہ اپنانے کے نقصان بھی بتائے گئے ہیں، لیکن افسوس شاید آج کے مسلمان کو اس کی کوئی پرواہ نہیں. Nobody bother about this. کوئی اس کی طرف توجہ نہیں، کوئی اس کے متعلق غور و فکر نہیں، حالانکہ قرآن پاک میں بار بار اس کی طرف توجہ دلائی ہے. جیسا کہ قرآن پاک میں اللہ عزوجل کا ارشاد ہوتا ہے، ترجمہ کنز الایمان، برائی کو بھلائی سے ٹال، یعنی برائی کا بدلہ اچھائی سے دے. دوسری جگہ ارشاد ہوتا ہے، ترجمہ کنز الایمان، یا کسی کی برائی سے درگزر کرو تو بے شک اللہ عزوجل معاف کرنے والا قدرت والا ہے. اسی طرح پیارے اسلام بھائیو، سورہ نور کی آیت نمبر 22 میں ارشاد ہوتا ہے، ترجمہ کنز الایمان، اور چاہیے کہ معاف کریں اور درگزر کریں، کیا تم اسے دوست نہیں رکھتے کہ اللہ تمہاری بخشش کرے. پیارے اسلام بھائیو، متعدد بار 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 قرآن پاک میں اسی طرح سورہ بقرہ کی آیت 109 میں ارشاد کچھ اس طرح ہوتا ہے، فاعفو واصفحو، تو تم چھوڑو اور درگزر کرو. پیارے اسلام بھائیو، دیکھا آپ نے کتنی بڑی یہ سنت ہے اور کتنی بڑی یہ صفت ہے، درگزر کرنا، برداشت کرنا، صبر کرنا. لیکن پیارے اسلام بھائیو، آج جہاں ہم دوسری سنتوں سے دور ہوتے جا رہے ہیں، اس سنت سے بھی ہر دوسرا شخص دور ہوتا جا رہا نظر آ رہا ہے. بلکہ پیارے اسلام بھائیو، ہمارے اسلام میں تو نہ صرف مسلمانوں کے ساتھ درگزر کرنے کا حکم دیا ہے، بلکہ غیر مسلموں سے بھی درگزر کا درس دیا گیا ہے، تاکہ وہ ہمارے اسلام کی طرف مائل ہو جائیں، ہمارے اسلام میں داخل ہو جائیں. چنانچہ قرآن پاک میں ارشاد ہوتا ہے، سورہ جاثیہ آیت نمبر 14، ایمان والوں سے فرماؤ، درگزر کریں ان سے جو اللہ کے دنوں کی امید نہیں رکھتے. اللہ اکبر. پیارے اسلام بھائیو، ہمارے لیے کس قدر اس آیت کے اندر عبرت ہے، درس ہے، کہ غیر مسلم سے بھی درگزر کی کا ہمیں درس دیا جا رہا ہے. لیکن افسوس، صد کروڑ افسوس، آج غیر مسلمان تو دور کی بات، بھائی بھائی، دوست دوست، باپ بیٹا، ماں بیٹی، ساس بہو وغیرہ وغیرہ، بلکہ ہر ایک شخص دوسرے شخص سے بیزار نظر آتا ہے. افسوس آج درگزر کرنا، اگنور کرنا، جو کہ بہت بڑی صفت ہے، اس سے ہر ایک دور جاتا ہوا نظر آ رہا ہے۔ آج چھوٹی چھوٹی باتوں پر ایک دوسرے کی رسپیکٹ ختم ہوتی جا رہی ہے، چھوٹی چھوٹی باتوں پر ایک دوسرے سے لڑائی ہو رہی ہے، ذرا ذرا سی باتوں پر ایک دوسرے کو دشمن بنایا جا رہا ہے، چھوٹی چھوٹی باتوں پر ایک دوسرے کی چگلی، غیبت اور بہتان لگایا جا رہا ہے۔ آج ہمارے اندر شاید برداشت کا مادہ ختم ہوتا جا رہا ہے۔ درگزر کرنا، صبر کرنا، معاف کرنا، بس اب جاتا ہوا نظر آ رہا ہے، اور ایک عجیب سی فضا چلی ہوئی ہے، ایک عجیب سی کیفیت بنی ہوئی ہے، یہ ایسا ہے، وہ اس نے یہ کر دیا، اس نے یہ کر دیا، اس کا دماغ خراب ہو گیا ہے، یہ پاگل ہے، اس کو سمجھ نہیں ہے۔ پیارے سنا بھائیو، چھوٹی چھوٹی باتوں، چھوٹے چھوٹے ایشوز پر آج ہم آپس میں جھگڑ گئے۔ اگنور، درگزر کرنا، پیارے سنا بھائیو، حالانکہ چھوٹی چھوٹی باتوں پر درگزر کرنا یہ بہت آسان ہے، اتنا مشکل نہیں ہے، برداشت کرنا آسان ہے، مشکل نہیں ہے، لیکن افسوس کہ اس کی طرف ہماری توجہ ہی نہیں ہے، یہ ہم شاید چاہتے ہی نہیں ہیں۔ آج بڑا بھائی چھوٹے بھائی سے لڑ رہا ہے، چھوٹا بڑے کے گرمان کو پکڑے ہوئے ہے، بیوی خاون سے بیزار، خاون بیوی سے بھاگ رہا ہے، بیٹا باپ کی نہیں سن رہا، باپ بیٹے سے دور، اور ایک عجیب و غریب سا ماحول بنتا جا رہا ہے، ہر ایک دوسرے کی عزت کو اچھاتا ہوا نظر آ رہا ہے۔ حالانکہ اسلام ہمیں کچھ اور سبق سکھاتا ہے، جیسا کہ علماء کرام فرماتے ہیں کہ دو مسلمانوں کو راضی کرنے کے لیے اگر جھوٹ بھی بولنا پڑ جائے تو بول کر ان کو راضی کر دو، ان کو اکٹھا کر دو۔ لیکن افسوس آج ہم کسی کو لڑتا دیکھ کر خوش ہوتے ہیں اور کسی کو اکٹھا دیکھ کر ناخوش ہوتے ہیں۔ پیارے اسلام بھائیو، ہم غور تو کریں، غور کریں، جھوٹ بولنے سے ہمیں منع کیا گیا ہے، اور قرآن پاک میں جھوٹے پر اللہ تعالی کی لعنت برس رہی ہے، لیکن اس کے باوجود دو مسلمانوں کو آپس میں اکٹھا کرنے کے لیے اس کی بھی اجازت دے دی گئی۔ اس طرح پیارے اسلام بھائیو، ایک اور بات، قاتل کی سزا کیا ہے؟ قاتل کی کیا سزا ہے ہمارے اسلام میں؟ سزائے موت، ایسے ہی ہے نا، قاتل کی سزا سزائے موت، ایسے ہی ہے نا، قاتل کی سزا سزائے موت ہے، لیکن اس کے باوجود اس کے اندر ایک رائے یہ موجود ہے کہ اگر مقتول کے لواحقین، یعنی جس کا مرڈر ہوا، جو مرڈر ہوا، اس کے رشتہ دار، اس کے ریلیٹو، اس کو معاف کر سکتے ہیں، یا خون بہا، یعنی سزا، سزائے موت کے بدلے پیسے وغیرہ لے کر اس کو معاف کر سکتے ہیں۔ پیارے سنا بھائیو، مقام غور ہے، کسی کی جان لینا کتنا بڑا جرم ہے، بہت بڑا جرم ہے، لیکن اتنا بڑا جرم ہونے کے باوجود اسے معاف کرنے کی اجازت دی گئی ہے۔ پیارے سنا بھائیو، ایسے بھی تو ہو سکتا تھا نا کہ قاتل کی سزا صرف سزائے موت ہوتی، کوئی اور کنڈیشن رکھی نہ جاتی، ہو سکتا تھا، لیکن پیارے سنا بھائیو، اس کو اس کی اجازت دی گئی، اس کی رائے دی گئی اس کو۔ یہ کتنا اعلیٰ درجہ ہے اگنور کرنے کا، درگزر کرنے کا، غور تو کریں۔ لیکن بات پھر وہی، افسوس کہ آج ہم چھوٹے چھوٹے ایشو، چھوٹی چھوٹی باتوں پر ایک دوسرے سے لڑ رہے ہیں، جھگڑ رہے ہیں۔ پیارے اسلام بھائیو، پیارے آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سیرت پاک ہمارے سامنے ہے، طائف کا واقعہ ہم نے بہت دفعہ سنا، جب ان بدماشوں نے پیارے آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پیارے جسم مبارک کو زخمی کیا، جسم مبارک خون سے بھر گیا، اس حالت میں جبرائیل امین آتے ہیں، عرض کرتے ہیں، یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، آپ حکم فرمائیں تو میں ان پر پہاڑ گرا دوں، مگر میرے رحمت والے آقا، میرے رحمت والے آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ان کو معاف کر دیا۔ یہ ہے پیارے اسلام بھائی، یہ ہے درگزر، یہ ہے برداشت، یہ ہے بدلہ نہ لینا، یہ ہے صبر کرنا۔ بلکہ پیارے اسلام بھائیو، ان کے لیے دعا فرماتے ہیں، اے اللہ میری قوم کو ہدایت عطا فرما، اللہ اللہ اکبر، اللہ اکبر. پیارے اسلام بھائیو وقت اتنا نہیں کہ پیارے آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سیرت کے بارے میں آپ کو بتاؤں کہ ان کی زندگی میں, یعنی کہ آپ نے پڑھا ہوا ہے, بہت سنے ہم جانتے بھی ہیں کہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی ہر پہلو میں آپ کو ان کا درگزر نظر آئے گا, صبر نظر آئے گا. پیارے اسلام بھائیو سیرت مبارکہ کا اگر آپ بار بار مشاہدہ کریں, شیخ ابی طالب کا واقعہ فتح مکہ کے مناظر دیکھیں نا, فتح مکہ کے وقت مسلمانوں کے پاس بدلہ لینے کا ٹائم بھی تھا اور طاقت بھی تھی, لیکن کیا تھا, معاف کر دیا, معاف کر دیا سب کو, معاف کر دیا سب کو. پیارے اسلام بھائیو اسی طرح صحابہ اکرام علیہ رضوان کی زندگیوں کے واقعات ہم پڑھیں, پتہ چلتا ہے کہ صحابہ اکرام نے کس قدر درگزر اگنور سے کام لیا. خدا کی قسم, خدا کی قسم رشک آتا ہے کہ کیسے کیسے تھے وہ لوگ, کیسے تھے وہ لوگ. اللہ اکبر. چلے یاد کریں ہستی علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ کا وہ واقعہ جب ایک بہت بڑا دشمن آپ کی گرفت میں آ گیا, جب آپ نے اس کے سینے پر چڑھ کر تلوار نکال لی تو دشمن نے آپ کے چہرہ مبارک پر, روئے مبارک پر تھوک دیا, تو آپ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ اس کے سینے سے اتر آئے, اس کے سینے سے نیچے تشریف لے آئے. سبب پوچھنے پر فرمایا کہ اس کی اس بری حرکت سے میرے دل میں انتقام کا خیال آیا, اور اگر اب میں اس کو قتل کرتا تو یہ اللہ عز و جل کی رضا کے لیے نہ ہوتا بلکہ نفس کی خاطر ہوتا, اس لیے میں نے اس کو چھوڑ دیا. سبحان اللہ. پیارے اسلام بھائیو ہمارے صحابہ اکرام علی مردوان قرآن پاک کے مطابق زندگی گزارتے تھے, قرآن پاک کے مطابق زندگی گزارتے تھے. جیسا کہ قرآن پاک میں سورہ آل عمران میں آیت نمبر 134 میں ارشاد ہوتا ہے, ترجمہ کنز الایمان, اور غصہ پینے والے اور لوگوں سے درگزر کرنے والے اور نیک لوگ اللہ کے محبوب ہیں, اور غصہ پینے والے اور لوگوں سے درگزر کرنے والے اور نیک لوگ اللہ کے محبوب ہیں. پیارے اسلام بھائیو کاش اے کاش ہم بھی اس سنت پر عمل کرنے میں کامیاب ہو جائیں, کیونکہ پیارے اسلام بھائیو ہم نے تو ساری دنیا میں جانا ہے, دار اسلامی والوں نے جانا ہے نا, ساری دنیا میں جانا ہے پیارے اسلام بھائیو, اور مبلغ کو دعوت اسلام میں بڑے ناخوشگوار حالات کا سامنا کرنا پڑتا ہے, پڑے گا. مبلغ کو اپنے اندر برداشت کرنا, صبر کرنا, درگزر کرنا, معاف کرنا, یہ ساری صفات پیدا کرنا ہوں گی. اس کا پیارے اسلام بھائیو اس کے بغیر ہم ایک گھر سے دوسرے گھر تک نہیں جا سکتے, اس طرح ہم ایک شہر سے دوسرے شہر پہنچیں گے, ایک ملک سے دوسرے ملک پہنچیں گے, اگر ہمارے اندر یہ صفت نہ آئی. پیارے اسلام بھائیو یہ بہت بڑی سنت ہے پیارے اسلام, اور یہ ایسی صفت ہے جو کہ اللہ عز و جل کی بھی صفت ہے. سبحان اللہ. پیارے اسلام بھائیو اللہ عز و جل قرآن پاک میں یہ فرمایا گیا ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ معاف کرنے والے, اف جو میں نے ٹاپک جو بیان کر رہا ہوں جس کو اردو میں میں نے ایکسپلین کیا, درگزر کرنا, اگنور انگلش میں کہہ سکتے ہیں پیارے اسلام بھائیو, لیکن اس کا حل کیا ہے, اس کا حل مدنی انعامات پر عمل اور مدنی قافلوں سے, مدنی انعامات پر عمل اور مدنی قافلوں سے. اور ایک اور چیز, آج پیارے اسلام بھائیو غیبت اس سے بچنا کتنا مشکل ہو گیا, بہت مشکل ہو گیا, ہر دو شخص تیسرے کی برائی بیان کر رہے ہوتے ہیں, لیکن یہ صرف جس کے اندر آ جائے گی نا وہ غیبت سے بھی انشاءاللہ بچ جائے گا. اس کی پیارے اسلام بھائیو وجہ یہی ہے غیبت کہ ہمارے اندر برداشت ہی نہیں, کوئی بات سن لیتی ہے کوئی جو ہمارے دل کو اچھی نہیں لگتی, ہم اس کو درگزر نہیں کر سکتے, اگنور نہیں کر سکتے, دوسرے تک بیان کر دیتے, دوسرے تک پہنچا دیتے ہیں. پیارے اسلام بھائیو اے کاش کہ ہمیں یہ صفت مل جائے, اے کاش ہم اس سنت پر عمل کرنے والے بن جائیں. اگر ہم درگزر کرنا شروع کر دیں, برداشت کرنا شروع کر دیں, تو یہ بیماری بڑی آسانی سے ختم ہو سکتی ہے. حالات آپ کے سامنے ہیں, ہر ایک دوسرے کی عزت خراب کرتا ہوا نظر آ رہا ہے, ہمارے گھروں کے حالات آپ کے سامنے ہیں، گلیوں محلوں میں جو کچھ ہو رہا ہے آپ کے سامنے ہے، ان برائیوں پر سمجھو ان کا حل کیا ہے؟ اس کا حل دعوت اسلامی ہے، مدنی قافلے ہیں پیارے سمجھو، آئیں آئیں مدنی قافلے میں سفر شروع کرتے ہیں، آئیے اگر ہم چاہتے ہیں کہ ہم بھی ان سنتوں پر کے عامل بن جائیں، ان سنتوں پر عمل کرنا شروع کر دیں، آئیے مدنی قافلے میں سفر کرتے ہیں پیارے سمجھو، مدنی قافلے میں ہم جب سفر کریں گے یہ صفات بھی جیسے اس کے ساتھ ساتھ جس طرح قافلے میں آپ کو فرض و واجبات کا بتایا جاتا ہے، اس کے ساتھ ساتھ الحمدللہ یہ چیزیں بھی ہم سیکھتے ہیں، مثال کے طور پر دیکھیں نا ہم گھر میں کس طرح ہو سکتا ہے ہمارے گھروں کی کھانے کے ٹائمنگ ہم نے رکھے ہوں، سونے کا ٹائم رکھا ہو، لیکن جب ہم قافلے میں جائیں گے تمہارے وہ ٹائم ڈسٹرب ہوں گے، ہماری وہ ٹائم ڈسٹرب ہوگی، تو یہ صبر کرنا ہم سیکھیں گے، اس سے ہم صبر کرنا برداشت کرنا ہمارے اندر آئے گا جو کہ ختم ہوتا جا رہا ہے پیارے اسلام بھائیو، اس کی بہت سی مثالیں دی جا سکتی ہیں، مدنی قافلے صرف فرائض و واجبات سیکھنے ہی کا نام نہیں ہے، اور بہت کچھ ہے اس کے اندر، خدا کی قسم اگر بیان شروع کریں نا ختم نہیں ہو سکتے کہ مدنی قافلوں کے اندر اور کیا کچھ ہے، آج ہمارے دل میں بہت بڑے وسوسات جاتے ہیں یار فرض وہ جو نماز کے فرض ہم نے شاید ہمیں آ گیا، وہ واجبات ہم نے سیکھ لیے اب، لیکن اور بڑی چیزیں پیارے اسلام بھائی جس طرح کہ میں نے ابھی بیان کیا صبر کے بارے میں، برداشت کے بارے میں بتایا، تو پیارے اسلام بھائیو خدا را آج نیت کیجئے کہ انشاءاللہ عزوجل ہر ماہ مدنی قافلے میں سفر کیا کریں گے، میں نے بتا دیا نا پیارے اسلام بھائیو کہ مدنی قافلے صرف فرائض و واجبات ہی کرا، حالانکہ فرائض و واجبات یہ اپنی جگہ کی چھوٹی سی چیز تھوڑی ہے، آج اتنی اکثریت ہے جن کو وضو کے فرائض نماز کے فرائض کا نہیں پتا، آج مسلمانوں کی بڑی تعداد ہے جن کو ان چیزوں کا نہیں پتا، لیکن اس کے ساتھ سب پیارے اسلام بھائیو یہ اور بڑی چیزیں سکھائی جا رہی ہیں، اللہ تعالیٰ سے دعا ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ عمل کی توفیق عطا فرمائے، آمین
الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف حدیث ہم ترمذی شریف narrated by Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu where he has said that the dua of an individual, the supplication of an individual remains hanging between the earth and the sky and does not get any higher until a person does not send salawat and salam upon the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam صلو علی الحبیب صلو اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلو اللہ علیہ وسلم. Before I commence, it's a humble request to the brothers to try to lower your gazes and concentrate on the words. Try to refrain from playing around with your mobile phone, leaving during halfway of the talk, as one is in danger of losing the barakat and the fadail of the talk. Alhamdulillah, we are very blessed by Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has given us the opportunity to come in His house today in the masjid and learn about His wonderful deen. Yet many of our friends, many of our relatives, people we know, they will be maybe busy in worldly affairs, away from gaining the rewards of Allah Azza wa Jal, as we hear again and again from Mubalighin Da'wat Islami, that every breath you take in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, you get reward for it. So my dear brothers, sit with this intention that every moment you are sitting here, every word you take in, every breath you take, Allah Azza wa Jal is rewarding you. As it is a hadith from Tirmidhi Sharif, narrated by Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where in race Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that, shall I not tell you about the best of actions, which one can do, and it is the most light in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, these shining stars, they used to look for an excuse. The moment the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention anything like that, they couldn't wait for the moment to act upon it, so they get the good deeds. When we hear something, we need to be told 101 benefits before we actually think that should I act upon it or not. When the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan replied in the affirmative and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, tell us, what is that action? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, this action, it is most loved by Allah Azza wa Jal. It will raise your status on Yawmul Qiyamah. It is even better than you going in the battlefield and fighting the enemies of Islam. The companions alayhim ridwan, upon inquiring, were told that by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that action is doing the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So alhamdulillah, we sit here in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we hope and pray that Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy showers upon us as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. My dear brothers, when a fountain emerges out of a mountain, its water is crystal clear. But as this spring water flows down to the plains and onto the land, dust and impurities mix with it, first making it muddy and dirty. Those who are used to looking at things superficially will think that this water was dirty to begin with. This analogy is true for the deen as well. About 1400 years ago, the fountain of Al-Islam emerged from the mountains of Makkatul Mukarramah and spread east and west. With the passage of time, different impurities in the form of non-Islamic customs and practices entered the spring of Islam. Some Muslims of later generations, like us, started to think of those impurities as part of the spring water of Islam. One of those impurities, and the topic of my talk, which entered the culture of Islam, is the practice of shaving the beard. The habit of shaving the beard has become so widespread among Muslims today that many Muslims think there is nothing wrong with making their face beardless. The origin of the fountain of Islam is the Holy Quran, which is the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the Sunnah, which is the practice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can see the true picture of Islam if we drink water directly from the fountain of Islam. The effeminate practice of shaving the beard has no roots amongst the Muslims during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or during the period of his companions, or even the generations which followed the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, the decline of Muslims has reached such an extent that we consider those Muslims backward who allow the growth of their beards. Muslims with beards are made fun of by their fellow Muslims. There is such a stark contrast between our words and actions that even many of those who recite poetry in praise Na'at-e Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly shave their beards and still claim to love the very face of the Prophet. It sometimes seems that they shave their faces not once but twice before appearing in public and reciting their poetry, even though their own actions contradict their words very severely. Today we have forgotten the fundamental message of the Holy Quran. As Allah Azza wa Jalla states in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have an excellent model in the Messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, Muslims were colonized by the imperial powers in the recent past. Some of them for up to 2 centuries. Now, when Muslim countries are politically free, post-colonial trauma has now faded in the memories of many Muslims. In some Muslim countries, parents of young girls refuse to give their hands of their daughters to Muslim youth in marriage who sport beards. Due to the colonial mentality, those Muslim parents think that the presence of a beard on a man's face makes him unattractive to women. However, recent research by social psychologists has shown that the presence of a beard on a man's face makes him appear more attractive, intellectual, honest and heroic. To sum up the beard, which was the sunnah of each and every Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal wa alayhi wasalam, said to mankind, has become an object of ridicule in this age. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said in a hadith, the person who brings life to my sunnah is as if he brought me to life. A few verses from the Holy Quran and a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to mankind, if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Azza wa Jal first says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عَمَلًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. When Allah and His Messenger have decided something, it is not for any mu'min, man or woman, to have a choice about it. Surah An-Nur, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينِ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَيُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who oppose His, meaning the Messenger's command, should beware of a testing trial coming to them, or a painful punishment striking them. Surah Ar-Rum, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. So set your face firmly towards the deen as a pure natural believer. Allah's natural pattern, meaning the fitra on which He made mankind, there is no changing Allah's creation. That is the true deen, but most people do not know. Hence, it is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal in the imperative form in Arabic language, that we should not change the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. In order to remain in the state of fitrah, inherent nature, it has to be nurtured in accordance with the divine guidance which comes in the form of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 10 qualities indicative of a good, clean nature. Two of these qualities are to trim the moustache and to allow the beard to grow. In addition, the fitrah of man is that he has a beard. It is one of the things which distinguishes man from woman. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Allah curses those women who imitate women. Allah Azza wa Jal curses those men who imitate women, and He curses those women who imitate men. Moreover, when Shaitan disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal and was cursed and ordered by Allah Azza wa Jal to leave Jannah, at that time he swore that he would lead human beings astray, and he said to Allah, وَلَعَامُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will command them and they will change Allah's creation. The commentators of the Holy Quran in explaining this verse have stated that shaving the beard is also included in changing Allah's creation. My dear brothers, from this verse of the Holy Quran, it is clear that we are obliged to obey all the commands of Allah's Messenger Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has ordered us in several authentic ahadith to allow our beards to grow and has forbidden us to shave them. Some of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to allowing the beard to grow are as follows. In the Sahihain of Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, be different from the mushrikun, meaning those who assign Allah partners. Trim your mustaches and allow your beards to grow. In another hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, it is mentioned that cut your mustaches and allow your beards to grow. Be different from the people of the book. Trim your mustache and allow the beard to grow. And be different from the Magians, jewelers, and fire worshippers. Again narrated by Ibn Umar in Sahih Muslim. These three ahadith of the Messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, clearly indicate that shaving the beard is imitation of the disbelievers. This becomes more understandable when we look at another hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he has said, Surah Abi Da'ud, whoever imitates a people, meaning a nation, is one of them. Now, the ruler of Yemen, appointed by the Persian Emperor Khusro, sent two envoys to the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to summon him. When they came into his presence, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that they had shaved off their beards and grown their mustaches. He hated to look at them because of their odd appearance and said, "Woe be to you! Who told you to do so?" They replied, "Our Lord," referring to Khusro. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, "But my Lord, exalted is He and glorified, has commanded me to leave my beard and to trim my mustache." My dear brothers, this particular hadith sheds light on various subjects. The Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked the act of shaving the beard to such an extent that he hated to look at people with beardless faces. Those Muslims who shave their beards should remember that we have to face our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment, and before that in our grave. How would we feel in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we had spent our lives with clean shaven faces? This hadith also indicates that shaving the beard is the practice of non-Muslims. The two envoys came with a warrant from the Persian king Khusro's to take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with them. But the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was not imitated by them, and he spoke the truth. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in the Sahih Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I have been commanded by Allah Azza wa Jalla to trim your mustache and allow the beard to grow." Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated that the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that 10 qualities are from fitrah. Number 1, trimming the mustaches. 2, allowing the beard to grow. 3, cleaning the teeth with the miswak sharif. 4, snuffing water into the nostrils while making wuzu. 5, cutting the nails. 6, washing the area between the fingers. 7, plucking underarm hair. 8, shaving pubic hair. 9, washing the private parts with water after urination or defecation. The narrator of this hadith, Mus'ab ibn Shayba, said that he forgot the 10th thing he might be putting in the mouth during wudu. He might be putting water in the mouth during wudu. My dear brothers, the Arabic word fitrah means the inherited nature. It can also be translated as the aboriginal state of man. Interestingly enough, many of the aborigines of Australia follow similar practices to those of the Muslims. These aboriginal people grow their beard, cut their mustaches and shave their pubic hair and underarm hair. They were separated from the rest of the world for a long time and hence were not influenced by the unnatural effects of modern society and media. Therefore, they were able to keep themselves in the state of fitrah, i.e. the inherent nature with which they were born, the qualities of which are described in this above mentioned hadith with the 10 points. My dear brothers, Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further narrates in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that we told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the people of the book, meaning the Ahl al-Kitab, they shave their beards and grow their mustaches. He commanded us to trim our mustaches and allow our beards to grow and be different from the people of the book. Allama Alusi, in his tafsir of the Holy Quran, quotes A Muslim hadith from Ibn Asakir, narrated by Sayyiduna Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there were 10 filthy habits in the nation of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, which resulted in the destruction of that nation by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Included among those 10 filthy habits were that they shaved their beards and allowed their mustaches to grow. My dear brothers, Qari Iyad, in his famous book on the Seerah titled Ash-Shifa Ash-Sharif, described the physical attributes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as follows. He had the most radiant colouring, deep black eyes, which were white set and had a sort of red tint to them, long eyelashes, a bright complexion, an aquiline nose, and a gap between his front teeth. His face was round with a white brow and he had a thick beard which reached his chest. Mubarak. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I have not seen anything more beautiful than the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was as if the sun was shining in his face. In her description, Umme Ma'bad said, from afar he was the most beautiful of people, and close up he was the most handsome. My dear brothers, if we look at the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are no authentic reports which would indicate that he trimmed his beard. However, there are authentic reports from many of the companions, the Sahaba-i-Kiram alayhim ridwan, which indicate that they used to cut the hair of their beards if it exceeded a fist in length. Similarly, there are reports from many of the scholars of early generations of this practice also. It has been narrated in Sahih Bukhari that when Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu went for Hajj Umrah, he used to hold his beard with his fist and cut whatever extended beyond his fist. My dear brothers, today in the age of materialism, when the practice of shaving the beard is so much predominant in this world, we may find some Muslim scholars who give fatwa that allowing the beard to grow is not important in Islam. The interesting thing is that many of those so-called Muslim scholars themselves do not have beards. Scholars are supposed to be the hujjah, meaning the proof for people. Today Muslims say, Sheikh so-and-so does not have a beard. We can say to those Muslims that the Messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had a beard. Is that not good reason to grow one? But these people go the opposite way. And then the question to those people, and also the so-called Islamic scholars, can be asked, then why did the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam turn his face away from the beardless Persian envoys, whereas he never turned his face away even from Abdullah ibn Ubay, the chief hypocrite in Madinah al-Munawwara, or Abu Jahl, the chief disbeliever in Makkah al-Mukarramah? My dear brothers, many thoughts come into our mind that if I have a beard, what will members of my family say? What will my friends say? What will my image be perceived as? But this narration here, true story, is of a Muslim man in a Muslim country who had a beard and who was looking for a job. You know, we have this mentality that the first thing they look at is our image and our beard. If you've got a beard, they'll show us the door. Finally, he got a call from a company to come to an interview. During his interview, his employer-to-be told him, I can offer you the job, but I have one requirement. You have to shave off your beard. You have a couple of days to make the decision. The man went home. He spent the whole day in making the decision, and it was hard for him because he was wearing the beard to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The human self has a tremendous capacity for rationalization. You know, we think of excuses ourselves. Human beings easily deceive themselves. Material greed urged that man to reason that after all, getting a job was more important and he could follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in other ways. He thought that now following the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one sunnah would make little difference. Therefore, he decided to shave off his beard so he could get the job. The next day, the man reached the office and met his prospective employer. The man told his employer, look, I have shaved off my beard. Can I have that job now? The boss replied, I was testing you. You have failed the test. If you could disobey Allah Azza wa Jal so easily, you would definitely disobey your employer. If a person is not sincere to his supreme employer, Allah Azza wa Jal, how could that person be sincere to his employer in this world? Therefore, I cannot offer you the job. Sorry. Hence, that Muslim man not only disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, but also lost worldly benefit. My dear brothers, the conclusion of my talk is that it becomes very clear from the information which I have presented to you that allowing the beard to grow is the natural way for men. The way of fitrah or man's inherited nature and the act of shaving the beard is an artificial way adopted by people due to the influence of non-Islamic thoughts. The disappearance of the beard from Muslim faces is not just a disease, but it is one of the symptoms of a major disease, i.e. the inferiority complex in the hearts of Muslims because of the aloofness towards the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see this kind of inferiority complex in every walk of life for many Muslims. Today, those Muslims who claim to be modernists and try to present modern Islam apologetically to non-Muslims have to reconsider their assumptions. They have to stop looking at the world through colonized eyes. Muslims have their own very great history. Muslims have their own unique identity that should not be lost to please others. We are Muslims. We as Muslims need to have a communal identity. It means that we need to have an identity for our community. Every great nation that is proud of its existence has a communal identity. The sign of the communal identity for Muslims is the beard for men and the hijab for women. In addition, following the sunnah or having a beard is a very interesting one, because either a Muslim obeys and follows the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 24 hours a day, or he disobeys the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 24 hours a day. Shaitan has a victory early in the morning over those Muslims who start their day disobeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by shaving their faces or by shaving their beards. What can we expect from ourselves in terms of following the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we have already lost the first battle against shaitan in the early morning? But this condition, my dear brothers, is not hopeless. The door of repentance to Allah Azza wa Jalla is still open. We can repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla and start following Allah and His Messenger Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holistically. Another point that needs to be emphasized here is that Islam teaches us to present the message of Allah, including all the commands of the Holy Quran and Sunnah, in a wise, prudent and lenient way. In addition to growing our beards, we should also engage in the purification of our inward selves, i.e. purification of our hearts. We need to have a spiritual as well as intellectual attachment to Islam. One of the major reasons that we see beardless faces amongst Muslims today is because of the lack of spiritual aspect of Islam. However, if we think that first we will purify our hearts from the diseases of the heart, and after that we will grow the beard, then this in itself is a disease of the heart and a trap from the shaitan. We cannot have a pure heart which contains two contradictory things at the same time, i.e. the love of Allah and the disobedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Above all, we should allow our beards to grow to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of Allah's creation. And remember, one of the verses I recited before, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to mankind, if you love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. My dear brothers, this is what we need to understand and realize as Muslims who we are, what our identity is, and what our history teaches us. The historians, is the Islamic historians, have taught many things to the non-Muslims of today. But today, we, instead of following our roots, where we came from, following the traditions of the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we feel we are more advanced and we will be noticed more when we go towards the non-Muslims and we leave the religion of Islam. But my dear brothers in Islam, to feel part and to get all this understanding, we need to be attached to such an environment where we feel at home. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, that Madani environment is this Madani environment of Dawat Islami. My dear brothers, many youngsters sitting here, including myself, we are born and bred in this country. And what we were taught was about the West and what everything was. Yes, we knew a bit about Islam, but we had to go to the masjid for a few years, learn how to read the Quran, and that was it. But my dear brothers in Islam, Islam is very vast. And Islam and the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has given us the answer to every single problem in modern day society. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. This is what our Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir al-Sunnah, Amir al-Dawat-e-Islami, Hazrat al-Allama, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyya al-Qudsiyya has taught us and told us to pass this message on to the four corners of the globe. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, this message of Dawat-e-Islami is spreading currently to approximately 66 countries of the world. My dear brothers, this is through the dedication and sincerity of Amir al-Sunnah and the brothers of Dawat-e-Islami, Mughalleen Dawat-e-Islami. My dear brothers, come regularly to these ijtimas of Dawat-e-Islami. You have regular invites, either through text messages or brothers invite you personally. My dear brothers, you come here and you will remember and you will have an opportunity to realize who we actually are. The reason we see Muslims struggling everywhere in the world is that we have lost our identity. Who are we? Sometimes we are Muslims, and when we are not in the masjid, when we are not at home, when we are at work, we try to be somebody else. And my dear brothers, the success will lie for us when we are full-time Muslims. We will be a Muslim at home, when we are Muslim at home, and in the masjid, and when we are Muslims at work as well, at school and colleges as well. Alhamdulillah, they are brothers of Dawat-e-Islami, who, when they are working, when they are colleges and universities, they are dressed from head to toe in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it that we should feel inferior if we are not imitating the kuffar? My dear brothers, be proud of yourselves. Be proud of the fact that we are Muslims and we have the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as our guide. And he will intercede for us inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla on Yawmul Qiyamah. My dear brothers, this is what Dawat-e-Islam is all about. Pay regular visits to the Maktaba of Dawat-e-Islami. Pay regular visits and purchase the books of Maktabatul Madina, the books written by Ulama-i Kiram, and the VCDs of Amir Ahl-e-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. Brothers, come up here regularly and they make announcements and they tell you about the recent literature that has come, the recent audio tapes and CDs and the VCDs of Amir Ahl-e-Sunnah which have been released. My dear brothers, purchase these yourself. Our mentality, like I said, like I mentioned in my talk, is very limited. We think to ourselves, well, if I give it to this particular brother, this VCD or this talk, he won't understand it, he doesn't understand Urdu. But my dear brothers in Islam, if we can understand Urdu, Amir al-Sunnah will make him understand his Urdu. Give them these things as gifts, encourage them to buy these things. I mean, before I finish, I'd like to mention this. A recent Risala which has been published by Maktabatul Madina, from Bab al-Madina in Karachi, the Madri Markaz of Dawat-e-Islami, that in Bab al-Madina, a particular area, Liaqatabad, a brother of Dawat-e-Islami, he gave the VCD, Didare Amir al-Sunnat. Now this was the VCD, for the first time Amir al-Sunnat was seen in a video format. Now this brother, a modern day young Muslim, who didn't know who he was, like many of us today, we remember we are Muslims on the day of Jumu'ah or on the day of Eid or on the day of funeral. My dear brothers, this modern day Muslim as well was given this VCD of Amir al-Sunnah as a gift. When he seen this VCD of Amir al-Sunnah, the moment he listened to the words of Amir al-Sunnah, his whole life changed. His heart, there was a complete, his heart was transformed. And he repented from his previous sins, and he became a practicing Muslim. He also gave the same VCD, Didari Amir al-Sunnat. I'm mentioning it again and again, so I want you to go and purchase it and give it to others as well. He gave this VCD, Didari Amir al-Sunnat, to a Christian. When he seen it, he was overcome with emotion and said, make me read the Shahada and make me become a Muslim as well. My dear brothers, this is the power of Amir Ahl Sunnah. This is the power of a Waliya Kamil. His talk, his words go into the hearts of people like arrows. Somebody like Madani arrows. So my dear brothers, pay a visit to Maktabatul Madina. Another one quickly from Arab Emirates, another VCD of Amir Ahl Sunnah was given to a brother of Dawat Islami. It was given by a brother of Dawat Islami to an individual. He was given the VCD Iman Ki Salamti. Now my dear brothers, this is very important that all of us, if we haven't already, listen by this VCD, Iman Ki Salamti, where Amir Ahl Sunnah has outlined the importance of our Iman, our faith. And day by day we say such phrases and such sentences that we say words of kufr. So it is very important that we realize that this VCD of Amir Ahl Sunnah, Iman Ki Salamti, was given to a brother. After he listened to it, he cried. Oh, since he listened to it, he was crying for a very long time. And he came to the brother who gave to him and he said, from today I am yours, I am for Dawat Islami for life. Ah. And my dear brothers, he made firm intentions, because his brother was well up, he made a firm intention that from today I will keep a fistful beard according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And also, he made the intention of taking two brothers of Dawat Islami with him to Umar Sharif. Allah karam aisa kare tujhpe jahan mein ae daawat e islami teri dhoom bachi ho. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidu wa sallim. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. Before we go on to the announcement, inshallah, we'll read the particular dhrushis for today, inshallah. It is said that whosoever recites this dhrushif once, then 70 angels write good deeds for that person for 1,000 days. Inshallah, please repeat after me. Allahumma,
Allahumma,
صلي
على
سيدنا
ومولانا
محمد
وعلى
آل
سيدنا
ومولانا
محمد
كما
تحب
وترضى
له.
The second Dhrushrif, it's said by the Holy Prophet that whosoever recites his Dhrushrif, if he is standing then before sitting, and if he is sitting then before standing, his sins will be forgiven.
Allahumma,
Allahumma,
salli ala
Sayyidina
wa Mawlana
Muhammad
wa ala
alihi
wa sallim.
This is the route before Shab-e Jumu'ah. And the mufhum of Hadith Pak is that when a person is being lowered into his grave, you will see that the Holy Prophet ﷺ is lowering the person with his best hands.
Allahumma,
Allahumma,
salli
wa sallim,
salli wa sallim,
wa barik ala,
Sayyidina,
Sayyidina,
wa maulana,
Muhammad,
Muhammad,
al-Nabiyyi,
al-Nabiyyi,
al-Ummiyyi,
al-Ummiyyi,
al-Habibi,
al-Habibi,
al-Ali,
al-Ali,
al-Qadri,
al-Qadri,
al-Azimi,
al-Azimi,
al-Jah,
al-Jah,
wa'ala,
alihi,
alihi,
wa-sahbihi,
wa-sahbihi,
wa-sallim,
wa-sallim.
Alhamdulillah, the announcements as the Islam Bay before mentioned about the DVD. Alhamdulillah, we're very fortunate that today there's only approximately 600 DVDs available, and this is the first DVD of Shahzade Amir Ahl Sunnah, the eldest son of Amir Ahl Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, this is the first DVD which has come out, and there's only 600 available for today. So inshallah, it's a humble request that everybody takes at least 12. Yeah, I think the Islam has it said enough. Inshallah, who will pass this DVD on to, inshallah, people who did not pray namaz, alhamdulillah, by watching these DVDs, they have become, started to pray 5 times a day with Jamaat, alhamdulillah. So please try, before you go, it's only the hadiah of the DVD is only 50 pence. So please, alhamdulillah, normally on the high street, the rate is probably £5 or £10, even up to £20. Alhamdulillah, there's so much blessing and barakah in these DVDs, alhamdulillah. As the brothers mentioned every week, that the Madni Kafirs of Dawud Islami, alhamdulillah, these are the backbone of Dawud Islami. The how the work of Dawud Islami, alhamdulillah, is at the moment to over 60 countries, is due to the hard work of these Madni Kafirs, alhamdulillah. Likewise, we had a few weeks back, we had the South of Ijtima in London. Inshallah, on the 22nd of June, we've got the North Level Ijtima, which will be taking place in Bradford, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, on that weekend, on Thursday after Ijtima, inshallah, the Islam Bays, if they can bring all the sleeping equipment with them. And on a Friday morning, inshallah, the Kafla will leave, inshallah, for Bradford, inshallah. And then that Kafla will attend the Ijtima on the 22nd, which is on a Sunday, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, the Maktat Medina, the DVD, there's also various other initiatives. The other is one, alhamdulillah, a masterpiece, a book written by Mufti Ahmad Yarhan Naimi, rahmatullah alayhi. This Urdu masterpiece was written about approximately 50, 60 years ago. And alhamdulillah, it has been translated into English. And inshallah, the stuff will be arriving in probably 5 to 6 weeks. Now, due to the shortage of the stock, there's not many that will be coming. So it's humble request because we have a lot of queries regarding Jahal Haq in English. The hadiah is £15. So those brothers are interested, if they can leave a deposit and book, put their names down, so that when it arrives, it will be allocated. It's very important that this book is available in every household. It is on the Aqeedah, so please try and buy this for yourself and as a present for your brothers, sisters, and the other family members. Alhamdulillah, there's a fiqh class which will be starting in Faizani Medina on Monday. The enrolling, inshallah, will take place on Sunday after Salat al-Asr, inshallah. So those brothers, it's very important that we learn the basics of Islam. If we go to a masjid and there's no imams up there, what happens? We start that who's going to lead the jamaat? So it's very important that we at least learn the basics of Islam. We've got time for everything else. Why not take some time out for this beautiful deen of Islam? So please try and attend Sunday at Salat al-Asr and the enrolling and further the timing and further information will be given, inshallah. There will be a brief Madni Mashra for Fidhani Medina and the Security Majlis straight after the Ijtima, inshallah. Also, there will be a Jubilee Madni Mashra, very brief, inshallah, after the Ijtima. Brothers normally try to hand the slips for dua and so forth during the Ijtima. If those the brothers can hand the slips in for dua at the beginning of the Ijtima, may Allah give us the ability to act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Ameen.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله حسبي ربي
Allah, 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 Allah. Please try to keep the palms of your hands flat, because the Qibla of the du'as is the skies. Put the mountains and tons of sins that we have committed before us, and try to sincerely repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salatu wa salam ala sayyidil al-mursaleen. Ya Rabbi Mustafa wa Tafayli Mustafa Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Sallam. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan. Ya Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Ham Sab, Ka Yaha Aana Apni Bargham Ya Kabul Ur Manzoor Farma. Ya Mawla Kareem, Ham Sab Ke Tamam Saghira Kubira Ka Naam Maaf Farma. Ya Mawla Kareem, Ham Sab Ko Ek Wa Nek Bana De. Ya Allah, Azza wa Jalla, ہم سب کو خوب خوب مدنی کام کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا اللہ عزوجل ہمارے میٹھے امیر اہل سنت امیر دعوت اسلامی حضرت مولانا محمد الیاس عطار قادری مدہ ذلہ العالی کے عمر میں علم حلم رزق میں برکت اضافہ عطا فرما. ان کا سایہ علماء حق کا سایہ ہمارے سر پر تا دیر قائم و دائم رکھ. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please accept our coming to the ijtima today. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us all sincere Muslims. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts melt when we listen to the beautiful words of the beautiful muballighins of Dawat Islami. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give the muballighs istiqama. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let their words penetrate our hearts. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us true taqwa, Ya Allah Azawajal, so we can fear you the right way. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the strength to overcome the satanic whispers that he gives us day and night. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from the punishment of the grave. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all death with iman. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are weak people. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot sustain pain, heat. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rise us with those on the day of judgment that you are pleased with.
Amen.
Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever you guide, none can send astray, and whoever you send astray, none can guide. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raise us with the guided. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give this beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami success day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, century by century. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all istiqama within this mahol. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many brothers that have come from close and far. Ya Allah Zawajal, you are alimun bizati sadur. You know what is in our hearts. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the brothers come with their du'as. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept everyone's du'a. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brother has said that he has family issues. Ya Allah Azzawajal, for the blessed locks of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resolve these issues. Ya Allah Azzawajal, those brothers who are sitting here, who have children, Ya Allah Azzawajal, make them pious children. Ya Allah Azzawajal, those brothers who have no children, Ya Allah Azzawajal, for the sake of your beloved Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, give them pious children. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the strength and the ability to travel on the Madani Qafale. Ya Allah Zawajal, give us the ability to fill in the Madani Alamat. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us show our true love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and give us the ability so we may grow a full length beard according to the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم إنك عفو تحب عفو فاعف عنا يا غفور يا غفور يا غفور جزا الله عنا سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ما هو أهله اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بحق لا إله إلا الله محمد.
Mustafa jaane rehmat pehla ko salaam shamae